Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Peter Rosenberger, who for regular Truth listeners know he has the radio show Hope for the Caregivers on most of our stations, 4 p.m. Eastern on Sunday afternoons, and just a wonderful man of God, but also a wonderful sense of humor. Welcome, Peter.
Well, thank you very much for having me on a Saturday morning. How are you feeling?
I feel great. My daughter's graduating from high school today, my youngest daughter.
Cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah.
And it's just a lot of people in from out of town. It's going to be a fun day. And then I have Peter Rosenberger on my radio show, so I figure I can just shut up and then the rest of this will be good.
Well, God bless you for your deplorable lack of judgment in having me on the show.
But for those who aren't familiar with Peter, tell them a little bit about your show and how you got there.
Well, some years ago, Robbie, I was talking with my board of directors. I have a ministry called Standing with Hope, and our flagship program was a prosthetic limb outreach that my wife started following the amputation of both of her legs. And they said, you know, you've developed a set of skills over these many years of being her caregiver. We think we'd like for you to start writing and doing a book about this and speaking on it and then doing a show. And even though I have the hair for TV, I have the face for radio. So we'll go radio. And we started doing the show, and I remember when I first launched it, I went to
Nope, you just cut out on us.
I'm still here.
Okay. You went when you first started, you went to where?
Oh, sorry about that. I went to a buddy of mine and asked him some advice. It was Jeff Foxworthy. And I said, what do you think? And he said, I absolutely ought to do it. He said, and make them laugh. He said, you know how painful this journey is for so many people. And so they need to have that laughter. So we did. We keep the show funny and engaging, but, you know, in the midst of some very great sadness that we as caregivers deal with. I've been a caregiver for Gracie now for 32 years through a medical nightmare that has spanned now 80 surgeries. She just had her 80th surgery. That's 80 in January.
But Jeff came on and he helped you define you might be a caregiver if.
Well, I called him up and said, hey, you want to do this with me? And he said, yeah, write out some jokes. And I said, these aren't jokes. This is my life. And so we did a bunch of, he called in for my 200th show and we did a whole series on those and it was really funny. I mean, like if while at the grocery store, you're the one asking for a price check on suppositories, you're probably the caregiver. And if you've ever hooked up your wife's wheelchair to your dog just to see if it would work, and I have footage. You know, and one of the things that we as caregivers, as believers, come to understand is that this isn't the end of the story. You know, and as painful as it is, and it is painful, Scripture says all creation is groaning about this. But we have a joy inexpressible that is awaiting us and that is available to us now by faith through Christ. But that doesn't come easily. It comes with work and discipline and focus and people reaffirming that in our lives. When I started doing the show, I don't do the show from Happy Vale retirement home. You know, I'm not thinking nursing homes and I don't tell people how to give injections and yeah, we'll talk about how to deal with the doctor or the insurance company, but that's not really where the battle is for caregivers. The battle for caregivers is in the heart of trusting God in the midst of what sometimes looks like insanity.
Oh yeah, the good news is we've got two other guests on the show, Peter, that are right along those lines. That really they're with the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission, and it kind of comes down to that. We've got Jason Wren and Rob Hilmer, but Jason, you feel that, don't you? Like at the point in time you trust God with some of these things, they're overwhelming.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And Jason just graduated the Transformers program.
Yep,
and.
Wait a minute, that's not like the movie, right, Jason?
No.
Well, it is. If you watched, if you saw him before and after, you could see.
Right, right. Yeah, maybe so.
You're not driving down the road in a semi and it turns into some kind of battle bot. I mean, I just want to know what I'm dealing with here, folks.
No.
Because I know you do the Christian car guy, Robbie, and this could get really weird here.
We also have Rob Hilmer, who is one of the marketing folks with the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission. But, Rob, you are a graduate as well.
Yeah, I graduated last September from the Transformer program. And I do turn into a robobot.
You do, too?
Decepticons.
That's right. That's what they call me.
Yeah, you do have to concern yourself with the Decepticons. I had never thought about that one. Yeah. But Optimus Prime would come in handy when the time came. Well... You got the jokes going already, but we got to get to our riddle because I didn't even do one last week. It was the first time ever. But anyway, speaking of care, you knew it was coming, right? Speaking of care, the careless pyromaniac, he made an ash of himself.
See, we had humor going, and now it went completely off the rails.
We need a drum set.
Now, good gardeners, they take care of their plants. They weed them and reap. That one isn't. And forklift operators like Peter, they don't care for puns. Care for puns. That's the word care in there. They find them unpalatable. It's hard to get a pun.
It's Saturday morning.
And you like this one, Peter. Go ahead.
I got to say, these jokes don't offend me as a believer. They offend me as a comedian.
Well, just think about this. When walking through a pig barn, you have to be careful how you maneuver. Think about it.
No, I don't want
to. We'll actually
get
to the riddle right now. Okay, here comes the riddle. Like the toothless termite who walked into the nightclub and asked, "Is the bartender here?" Now, come on, Peter. That's funny. I mean, you got to admit. Is the bartender?
Let's just ask the audience. Should we give him a mercy laugh?
Which character in the New Testament was known for his tender, loving care? So, just like the toothless termite in the nightclub who asked his bartender, "Is the bartender here?" Which character in the New Testament was known for his tender, loving care? Call 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. And if they have the answer, Jasper, tell them what they'll win.
They'll win a book from the Kingdom Pursuits Prize Vault.
There you go. Call in at 866 and tell us, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. If you're digitally gifted, tell us, which character in the New Testament was known for his tender, loving care? Has nothing to do with a toothless termite. But you got to admit, now Jason was really, he was laughing over here.
Is that book titled Humor and How I Destroyed It by Robbie Gilmore?
In one riddle.
Yeah. Well, I really have a lot of fun with it, though, Peter. That's the important thing is that, well, I like my jokes. It's not.
And that's really what's important, Robbie. That's really what's important. A chef should like his own cooking.
There you go. If you know, that's the... When I was in the car business all those years, and this is a very true statement, it has a lot of merit to it. The first and most important sale you make is to yourself. So in my opinion, if you're selling something and you don't believe in it, then you're manipulating.
Right.
Right.
But if I agree with that. That is a 100%. Powerful statement right there.
So the first and most important sale is the one you make to yourself. And if you're not sold and you're out there selling Truth Broadcasting or whatever else you're selling, in my case, or the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission or Hope for the Caregiver, you know, it's important that you're sold. So you can tell when it comes to my humor, Peter. Anyway, I know you've got answers out there. We got a break coming up. When we come back, we're going to hear a lot more from these guys, Winston-Salem Rescue Mission, to hear their stories. And, of course, a lot more from Peter Rosenberger, Hope for the Caregiver. It's all there at KingdomPursuits.com. Stay tuned. So much more Kingdom Pursuits coming at you. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today we have Peter Rosenberger with Hope for the Caregiver on most of our stations, 4 p.m. Sundays Eastern. It's a live show. You can call in and listen to this wonderful entertainer, but also a really thought-provoking show every Sunday, as well as Rob Hilmer and Jason Wren with the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission. And you still got plenty of time to get in and win Robbie's Riddle by calling in at 866-348-7884 and tell us which New Testament character, which person in the New Testament was known for his tender, loving care. 866-348-7884. Well, Jason, recently you graduated from the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission, but I wonder if you can take us back to what it was like before you ever knew anything about the Rescue Mission.
Life was pretty miserable.
Did you grow up here?
Huh?
Did you grow up in Winston-Salem?
No, I'm from Lewisburg, North Carolina, which is about 30 miles north of Raleigh.
Right. Know exactly where it is.
Yeah.
That's there by Lizard Lick.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Everybody knows Lizard Lick now. Well, it's not much but a caution light, but ever since the show.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
But I knew about it before they ever did the show because
I
used to live in Raleigh. So I'd been up to Louisville. I had some friends in Louisville. So you grew up in Louisville. What happened?
I got out of school or whatnot, and it started to leave. I grew up as a Christian. I grew up in a Christian atmosphere,
right,
with family. So I knew about God, but really didn't. I was calling myself saved, but not. I didn't really know what saved was until I got to the mission, really. And so I just kind of stared off in another direction and started, experimenting with drugs and alcohol and things like that. And I got married, and I thought, hey, I'm going to settle down. I'm going to stop doing this, and I'm going to have kids. And I did it. I did exactly that. We had kids, but things didn't. I was still missing that centerpiece. I didn't know what it was. And when I got here to the mission, I found out very quick what that centerpiece was, and it was God.
Can you take us to that kind of moment when you went, where he did he show up in one of the meetings? Did he show up through one of the guys talking to you? What happened?
Well, just sitting at the mission, my wife had left because of all the craziness going on in my life. So I was kind of alone, and I had time to spend time with God. And try to gain my relationship back. And this is when I started to, I would hear preachers come by and would talk about different family things in the Bible. And that's when I would start to realize, like, this is what I'm missing. I mean, it's very important to have God in your family life, having devotions. And none of this I was doing. I was just working, trying to work 60 hours a week or however many hours. As long as I was paying the bills, I thought I was doing what I was supposed to do. But it's not the case. I was missing. I was missing that center part. And once I found that out, me and my wife, we read every night. We
so
always
you got
take.
Back together.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You graduated, and now you're back together. Your wife, she lives here?
No, she still works at Costco in Durham. But she's trying to transition up here.
Wonderful.
To Winston-Salem, and that's our plan.
That is awesome. Yeah. And do you have children?
Yes, I got a 7-year-old and a 2-year-old, Ian and Dylan.
I bet they're thrilled.
Yes.
I bet they're thrilled. And Peter, yes. Was there a point in your caregiving experience where you figured out you couldn't do this without God, or was that something you brought into it?
I brought in a nominal faith. I mean, I knew a lot about it. I've been at Bible college. I grew up in a Christian home. My dad's a pastor. But there was a point where I hit a wall, and that's when I, in the middle of the night, following one of Gracie's surgeries early on in our marriage, I was just in my 20s, and she went into a seizure after me being there 3 days at the hospital round the clock with her, and I was on no sleep, and it was just a god-awful experience. I got the nurses in there. We had to hold her down. She's throwing up, screaming, thrashing, everything. She'd gotten too much medication. And it was at that night I realized I was dealing with more than just a car wreck. I married Gracie after her car wreck, but I didn't know how bad this thing was. I didn't really understand it. I was young, and I was dumber than a box of rocks. And I realized at that point I was dealing with something that was so far beyond my abilities. And it took me into a dark place for a long time. And I think that sometimes we caregivers tend to be pretty competent people. But the problem is it takes us a little bit longer to figure out we're not up to the task. And we'll leave a lot of carnage along the road. And that's exactly what I did until I came to that point where I just completely collapsed and said, I can't do this anymore. I mean, the surgeries just kept coming. Somebody living with chronic pain, somebody on opioids, all these things. And then I was trying to manage this all on my own, and I didn't understand how God fit into this. Everybody kept saying, well, trust Jesus, trust Jesus. Well, I didn't understand that. That didn't make any sense to me. And then I stepped back from all of Scripture, and I saw that Scripture in its totality. And I realized, wait a minute. There's nowhere in Scripture where it shows a guy taking care of his wife with both legs amputated and 80 surgeries and $10 million and all that stuff. But our Savior refers to us, his people, as his bride. The church is the bride of Christ, and we are a wounded bride. And I realized that our Savior's been in love with his own wounded bride for eternity. And when I saw that, I realized I have a Savior that's acquainted with this, that understands this, that gets this in ways that I can't even fathom. And that's when it all flipped for me and changed for me, and I realized, okay, I'm going to put my scared hand into his scarred hand, and I'm going to trust him with this.
Amen.
Yeah, and amen. And it's interesting the journey he's had you on and the platform that he's given you as a result of that transformation. So since we're using it, there's no Decepticon in that particular one.
Nicely played, Robbie. Nicely played. And that's why you have a radio show, Robbie.
So, Rob, how about you? Well, can you take us back to that time where you went, oh.
Well, mine, I was in the hospital. I had attempted to commit suicide, and I was in the mental health hospital. And someone handed me a sheet of paper about the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission. And I came down here. I'm not from Winston-Salem. I'm originally from Wisconsin. I came down here, but I really came down here with the intentions of staying 2 weeks and figuring things out and getting out of my way.
So you came all the way from Wisconsin to come to the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission?
No, I came from Roanoke, Virginia.
Okay.
I'd been in Roanoke for 10 years.
And so, but still, that's a good little journey. So they said, this is the place, and you're there in the hospital, and was Christ in your life at all before the suicide attempt?
Yeah, I was raised a Christian. My father, you know, we were raised in a Christian home, and you know, I got married in a Catholic church, and yeah, Christ was there, but it was sort of, I was sort of the typical, go to church on Sunday, never go, you know, ignore it all week long. But after I went through my divorce, I started drinking a lot, and that's when I started sliding down this. It's like a giant snowball. Just started going downhill and downhill and downhill and until I ended up in the hospital. And literally, I didn't know about the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission from Adam, and someone handed me a sheet of paper, literally handed me a sheet of paper in the hospital with the Winston-Salem Rescue Nation and Lou Carrico's name on it. And I called him, and I talked to him for a while, and he said, come on down. So I grabbed a Greyhound from Roanoke, Virginia, and came down here. And walked in with, like I said before, intention of staying a couple of weeks. But somewhere in that whole situation, God
what,
started.
What did you think was going to happen in 2 weeks? I'm curious.
Well, I didn't have any plans.
That you were going to get off alcohol? Or were you?
No, my plans in my head were figure things out in the next couple of weeks and get on my way. Okay. You know, I didn't intend to quit drinking. I just, at that point, I just really didn't care. But somewhere in all that, God started sort of working on my heart and I started thinking, well, maybe that's what I'm missing. And I sort of started following. I went through the 90-day program and decided somewhere maybe in about 60 days, God said, you need to do this year-long program. So I signed up for the year-long program, and I did it. And it's amazing what God has done for me. And it's all because of his glory, just where I've come. I mean, I'm older. I didn't think I'd ever have a job again. I was sort of hanging on to get my retirement. And I graduated from the program, and marketing and development director out of the blue called me up to his office and offered me a job in marketing. And
so let me go back for a second for both of you guys.
Okay.
Because both of you guys were in the 90-day program, and then you went to the Transformers program.
Absolutely.
And I don't know if those people are listening today in Richmond, or you might be in Raleigh, or you may be some in Charlotte, and you may be thinking, I don't know anything about the rescue mission. Well, There's a 90-day program at the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission, mm-hmm. which is in a very old hospital that was probably built in the teens.
1910, I believe.
Yeah. But here about 10 years ago, thanks to lots of folks and a lot of wonderful blessing of God, they built this big, beautiful center where they do the Transformers program,
correct.
Which is this big, beautiful new building. So you're sitting over here in the 90-day program. I'm just wondering how that feels when you see these guys, right, that are over here in the year-long program in this big, beautiful building, and you're in this hospital, which I understand isn't the most pleasant place at times. Did that have any effect on that? When you looked over there and you saw that and you said, yeah, that's what I want.
I don't really think. Well, I guess it did a little bit, but that was really wasn't when I made the decision to go over. It didn't matter where I was living. I just needed this, and you know, was it nice? Yeah, it was like going from the budget into the Hilton.
Right.
So it's a completely different world, but I don't think the building had any decision in it. Although it was nice to move over there.
Yeah. How about you, Jason?
Yeah. I'm pretty along the same lines with Rob on that.
You were just wanting more of what you'd experienced
right.
in 90 days.
In the 90
I needed
days,
more.
I'd be like, wow, freedom.
Yeah. Well, like, this I've is done something. 90 days. I've done 30 days, and yeah. it's never seemed to work. I needed right. that long term.
So we got so much more coming up. We need your aunt. I can't believe anybody hasn't called in with our New Testament person known for tender loving care. 866-348-7884. So much more coming up. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we've got some really poster children for that very concept. We have Peter Rosenberger, who's the host of Hope for the Caregiver, wonderful show for caregivers every Sunday, 4 o'clock Eastern. It's live. You can tell if you listen in that you are going to have a blast listening to Peter, but also learn some things that you know, most of us, if maybe you're young right now, but at some point in time, your parents, an aunt, who knows, it may be your spouse that you end up being a caregiver. And there's some wisdom there that's phenomenal that he shares in that show. Also, we have Rob Hilmer and Jason Wren, both with the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission here in Winston-Salem. But as you listen to this, I know you may be in Charlotte today or wherever you may be, but you know, this is just one of the examples of the way God is working in every major city in the U.S. through rescue missions or organizations similar to that, that really need our prayers, need our support. And it's amazing if you want to see some transformation. I mean, it's really better than Optimus Prime, I'm just telling you. And we've got Bobby is on. She's ready to riddle for us. Bobby, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning again. The only person I could really think of was Jesus. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me.
He was an awesome caregiver. Yes, you're right. He's on the list, and he's probably way, way up there on the top, top of the list. But I think
I really like what these young men are saying. My son worked for Teen Challenge for several years, and for the past year he's been over in Israel working for Christian Friends of Israel, and he flew into Charlotte Thursday night. But anyway, he is such a giving person, he and my daughter both. But anyway, as far as caregivers go, my husband was an insulin-dependent diabetic that thought he could walk on water, I think, because he sure didn't listen when it came to the diabetes. I get so frustrated because his mother lived across the street, and he'd go over there and eat Lord knows what. And anyway, it was sad because he lost most of his vision. He loved to play golf. He couldn't see well enough. So in the last year of his life, I did all of the driving. But it is a stressful thing, very stressful, because both of my children live in South Charlotte. And I was mostly here, you know, taking care of him by myself. And they can be just real irritable. And my rheumatologist, Dr. Tom Rowe in Greensboro, he said, diabetics can make life hell for everybody until they accept the responsibility that is their disease. And they don't listen. Men don't anyway. I don't know about the women.
My wife would be in a total agreement with you right there, Bobby.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad. It was so sad to see him go down like that because he was a big fella and real handsome man. But he just, it was just sad just to see the way his life ended. And I thought he took probably at least 10 years off his life by being thick-headed and not taking care of his health. So, which was his choice. You can't
right.
make
yeah.
people do things. You right. be there for them and try to encourage them. But anyway, these fellas are doing a good job working with people that have a lot of
yeah.
problems.
Peter, what word would you have for Bobby? Because that's an interesting place to be after you've lost the person that you've given care for.
Well, a lot of times caregivers will suffer from what I call the three I's. We lose our independence. We become isolated, and then we lose our identity. And the loss of identity is what cripples so many caregivers because they get themselves wrapped up into the story of someone else. And it sounds like you found your own voice in this, and you did the right thing, realized that, you know what, you can lead a man to an idea, but you can't make him think. And some people are just bound to determine that they're going to do something to themselves, and you can't fix that. You didn't cause it. You can't undo it. You can't argue with diabetes. You can't fight it. And some people are just bound to determine they're going to do it. The important thing is for you to realize what is yours and what is not yours. That's been the hardest thing for me as a caregiver for these three decades, is to know what is mine and what is not mine. And that is a moving target sometimes for me. And it sounds like you kind of landed on that place, realizing, you know what, I didn't do this to you, and you're going to have to figure out how you want to live with this.
And, well, I just look to the Lord. I depend on him.
Absolutely.
I look up, and the morning he died suddenly here at home, and I gave him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation the best I knew how. I'd never done it. And but anyway, I wasn't going to sit there and do nothing. I never have been that type. And so anyway, his doctor had lived down the road from us in a new development, and bless his heart, he happened to be on his way to the hospital for run some early tests on someone, and I saw him run across the front yard, and the paramedics were already here. He ran in there and worked on my husband himself, and he would not leave me until I got someone here to stay with me. But I think the Lord allowed shock to take over, because I was just numb. I was just functioning normally. And but anyway, I just think without the Lord in our life, we're just going to fail, regardless of how strong we think we are. I look to him for everything, and every day now I look to him for strength and guidance.
Well, thank you, Bobby. God bless.
You know, think about what Jesus does for us, how we have sabotaged our own health, our own lives, our own mm-hmm. spiritual lives, and yet he is, to the very last breath, giving us mouth to mouth. He's doing everything.
Amen.
And he has extended this offer. And the question is, are we going to accept it? Are we going to listen to it? He's not that tight either. I love that phrase. You've never been that tight. You know what? We have a Savior who's never been tight. He gave us
exactly.
everything and laid down his life for us.
I don't know how he puts up with us sometimes. I thought, if I were in charge, I'd be smacking a lot of people around. And myself, too.
Yep. Thank you, Bobby.
But
God
yeah,
bless.
He is patient. But
yes,
anyway,
he is.
You guys are doing a good job, so just hang in there.
You
Thank
too,
you.
Bobby.
Thank you.
God bless. All right. Well, she had one answer, but there's another answer. She had an answer of which character in the New Testament was known for his tender, loving care, and certainly Jesus was all that and beyond anything. But there's another character, actually Jesus himself talked about, and as I tried it out on my guests, I found out that I might have been confusing my audience, because they're thinking about a name. And this person I said is a character, but you don't actually ever know his name.
You know, I know what the answer is, but I can't say it.
I know you can't. But I started to hint that his first name, he was a really good guy. But anyway, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH, if you want in on that action. And now that you are at the rescue mission, Rob, and you've been there on staff for how long?
I started in September.
And so what's that like to be on that end of it? Do you get frustrated like Bobby sometimes with some of the people that are in the program, and you're like, Why are you so thick-headed? Don't you?
No, I really don't. It's a blessing to work for it because I know what it did. It's a blessing to work for the mission because I know what it did for me. I don't get frustrated with the men in there. You know, it's just a blessing to work. And I'm in development and marketing, and to go out and talk to churches and businesses about what we do is just a blessing every day. And people were blessed with it and having a lot of fun with it. It's fun. And we have our banquet coming up, and we'll be working on that. And so it's just a lot of fun.
It's really a cool thing to have. You know, God has pulled you out of the fire, so to speak, and then given you a really legitimate kingdom purpose.
Absolutely. It's the first time in probably my life that I have a job that I really have a passion for.
And you've got the same thing, right, Jason? You get to work for the kingdom as your...
Yeah, absolutely.
And tell our listeners what you do now.
Well, I think what I do is very, I know it just sounds like a truck driving position, but it's very important. I mean, because I'm out there dealing with the donors, the people that are donating to the mission. So
he's a face.
Yeah.
So you drive a truck and you pick up for the thrift store, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I pick up all the
donations. Those of you who may not know this, and, you know, it's really helpful to know this in my opinion, is that, you know, you can give your stuff to Goodwill if you want. I know it's real handy. They've got a place all the way around. But here's the thing. If somebody gets something from Goodwill, they don't necessarily get it in Jesus' name.
Right? Amen.
And the people that are getting help from Goodwill, I'm so grateful for that. But it's something different when you give to the rescue mission because that help, that those sources are going to be used to literally transform men's lives.
And exactly.
And I've been blessed beyond belief for being associated with you guys for over 10 years and watching man after man. And I'm seeing faces. Mm-hmm. Of people that, you know, most people had given up hope on, and lives radically transformed, people back out of the community, families. Absolutely. Think of the wives and the children that have fathers and all these things because of donors, right, Jason, that were willing to give up that bet, that stuff sitting out in the yard. They don't want to eat it anyway. And rather than just taking it down to Goodwill, you can call the rescue mission and you guys will come pick it up. That's what you do.
Yep.
And everything we sell at that store gets put back into our programs, either our recovery programs or our community service programs. There's no other, every dime that store supports us and supports our programs.
Apparently my hints have done good because the phone lines lit up with people with the answer possibly to the who had the tender loving care in the Bible. We have Chris is in Winston-Salem. Chris, you're on the Kingdom Pursuits. May I? Well, who are you thinking?
Right. We have the Good Samaritan.
He was a good guy, right?
Indeed.
And he provided tender loving care. I was telling these guys that, you know, during the break, I was trying to give him a hint. I said, well, you know, he's sort of a good guy. And I said, well, as a matter of fact, his first name was Good. And they were still looking at me. I said, well, maybe his first name was The. His middle name was Good.
Yeah, I actually was thinking Barnabas before you said gave me the hint. I'm like,
that would have been a good one, too.
That was a good answer, Chris. We got a couple more that may have better answers. We're going to get to them in a minute. And so much more with Peter and with Jason and Rob. So stay tuned. So much more Kingdom Pursuits coming up. Thanks again, Chris. God bless. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. We're having so much fun today with Peter Rosenberg, host of Hope for the Caregiver on most of our stations on the Truth Network, 4 p.m. Sundays, afternoon Eastern. It's a live one-hour talk show for caregivers, which I'm sure you can tell from listening is just a wonderful, wonderful gift that God's given the Truth Network to be able to delve into this important subject, as well as Rob Hilmer and Jason Wren, and they are with the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission here in Winston, and they're both now employed with a rescue mission. How cool is that? And both graduates of the Transformer program. But we have Angela in Burlington who has another answer to the riddle, and we want to make sure we get to everybody. Angela, I hadn't talked to you in a long time, Angela. I'm so glad you called.
Well, thank you. It has been a while. I've been very busy being a caregiver for my 94-year-old mother.
Really?
Bless you.
Yeah. So I appreciate your guest today. But my answer for the riddle is the Good Samaritan.
He was good, wasn't he?
Yes. He showed tender, loving care and provided for additional care for someone he didn't even know.
And so while I got Angela on the phone and while I got Peter on the phone, Peter, how has God shown you? I mean, you have to see the Good Samaritan from a perspective that really is phenomenal.
Well, I think I do. I think that there are pictures of that all throughout Scripture of various places of the caregiver's life. And yeah, it does. Ange, I want to ask you, though, how are you doing?
Thank you for asking that. It's been kind of rough. My mom has congestive heart failure, and on top of that, she's always been an extremely independent person, and it's extremely frustrating for her now that she can't do things for herself that she used to do, and that makes it very frustrating for me.
Sounds like you are frustrated, and sounds like you're a little bit tired of it.
Well, yes. I mean, I may as well just come out.
What do you do for yourself to take up your own heart, your own body?
Well, that's just the thing. It's so many things that she wants me to do, and right while I'm in the midst of doing one thing, she's already got a list of 10 other things that I need to do.
And what do you like to do?
Myself.
What do you like to do, Angela? What do you like to do?
I like making greeting cards and other paper crafts. I enjoy doing crafts that involve using.
All right. Well, listen. I want you to promise the entire Truth Network today that you're going to make at least one greeting card today that you like.
Oh,
all right.
Wow.
You carve out a little bit of time for something that speaks to your heart's need, to your soul's need. Make a greeting card to yourself, Angela. If you were going to send a greeting card to somebody who's taking care of their 90-something-year-old mother with congestive heart failure, what would you say? And make that greeting card for yourself today.
Amen.
Would you promise me that?
Yeah, promise me too, Angela.
Yeah.
I promise.
That's,
I promise.
Amen. That's
wonderful. It may be somewhere around 10 minutes to midnight, but I promise.
We caregivers are up at 10 minutes to midnight, so go ahead and but before the day is over, you make a greeting card to yourself and you build up your own spirit, your own and encourage yourself in that. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Angela. God bless. I'm so glad you called in today on lots of things, and of course you're a winner. So it's great to hear from you again. I'm glad to know, and we'd be praying for your mother, too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You guys are...
Oops.
Uh-oh.
She wasn't finished. I thought where she was finished. But we appreciate Angela a whole lot. And Peter, she kind of walked right into that, by the way, because I know I've heard your minute on that subject of writing yourself a greeting card.
I do. We sometimes holidays and things, and Father's Day is coming up, and sometimes you have to buy your own greeting card, your own Valentine's Day card, your own birthday card, and that's okay. Buy it for the person that if you knew somebody was doing what you're doing, what kind of cards would you pick out? Get that card and then put a $10 bill in it for yourself and buy yourself some ice cream, because there ain't nothing that ice cream can't help make better.
Isn't that the truth?
And that's just one of the things as we're listening today. If you're in that situation where you're caregiving and think about setting aside Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock to, call in and share with Peter where you're at, what you're doing, he may not have the answer, but at least you got a whole lot of folks out there praying for you that are with you. And I don't know about you, Peter, but quite often as the Christian car guy, you might be shocked to know this. I have no clue what's wrong with people's cars. But often there's another listener out there that, you know, they had a 72 Volkswagen that did that exact thing, and they know exactly what's wrong with it. And so have you ever had that where you're doing a live show and you didn't necessarily have the answer for the person's caregiving issue, but another listener called in and they just nailed it?
Well, in our case, we don't really spend a lot of time on the answers because I found, Robbie, for caregiving, it's an ongoing situation. It's not a, hey, we'll fix this. Now, we'll have paths of things, okay, here's a resource or something like that. But for the vast majority of my experience in dealing with this, I've found that caregivers aren't really looking for answers. They want answers, but what they need is assurance. And so we kind of bypass the answer and go right to the need. The core need is assurance to know that they're not alone, that God hasn't abandoned them, and here's what it looks like. We get very specific. We drill it down to absolute core basics, that it's not something I'm going to say, hey, God loves you, go have a good day, be warm and be filled with the Spirit, and I'll send you away hungry. I don't do that. We give you something very specific to where you are right now, like with Angela right there. But answers are hard to come by. My wife is missing both legs and has had 80 surgeries and in pain all the time. There's not an answer for that. There is a sustenance, though, that comes from the companionship of believers who specifically meet the heart needs of every single day. Every day I'm going to have to deal with the fear, the obligation, the guilt, the fog of caregivers, I call it, fear, obligation, and guilt. Every day I'm going to have to deal with the loss of identity. So I need people to speak back to me and help me pull out my identity, just like I did with Angela. You know, I want to ask her, you know, how are you doing? I don't want to hear about your mother. That's important, but I really want to hear about you. And that's what I want Angela to walk away from this conversation today, that somebody said, how are you doing?
Amen.
And then I don't care how you're doing as far as there's no wrong answer. Don't get me wrong on that. I'm not looking for you to give me the right answer. There is no wrong answer. I want truth. How are you feeling? And then now let's have a conversation about that. If you feel frustrated, if you feel lonely, let's talk about that, and let's talk about some ways today, right now, that you can change that. That's what my show is about. I give caregivers a well-lit path to safety where they can catch their breath, take a knee if they need to, and then let's start developing a pattern of healthiness to come into your life to equip you for this long marathon, this long valley of shadow of death that is caregiving.
And Rob, similarly, you know, you're in a situation where, and we talked about earlier, the most important sale is the one you have to make to yourself.
Yep.
And so as you go into churches, right, because that's part of what you do, and you and in the marketing is essentially sharing the story of the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission.
Yep.
What's the thing that sold you the most?
Well, just it's finding God. I mean, just it's life changing. That's why they call it Transformers. It's changed my life. I know it's changed Jason's life. Mm-hmm. There's guys in there that I know that have came in, strung out in meth, and are now got their GED and off in college. And it's just a transforming program. And I really want to say this. If you know anybody that's hurting or know anybody that needs help, send them to us because we're there. It's no cost. We'd love to have you come in and it's just transforming. It really will transform your life if you let it and you're willing.
I know that Stu, you know, is a lot much more outgoing than I am. I know you may be shocked to know that if you ever met Stu. But, you know, the homeless person on the corner, you know, he'll really engage them and say, you know, why are you standing out here?
Yep.
Because you could go get your life turned around and, you know, yeah, I can give you $10, but I can give you a lot better advice than that.
Absolutely.
And what would you say to somebody about the you know, the people standing there on the corner with the flag sign, you know, with the sign saying, you know, I'm homeless?
The same thing. I mean, I've had people come up to me and ask me for a dollar or claim that, you know, they're hungry or whatever their need may be. And that's my first answer. I'll say, hey, I'm living at the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission. I think that's probably where you need to go if you want a meal and, you know, get a nice shower and get cleaned up, you know. But you could tell the ones that are serious because they'll want information about it. And the ones that don't, they just turn around and walk away.
So you've actually shared that with some?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Everyone that comes up to me and tries to ask me for a dollar or, you know, any money or anything, you know, that's what I tell them. I live at the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission myself, and it's changed me. so you know.
I think a man has to be ready for that change. I mean, they have to really, like me and Jason and the other guys, we all hit rock bottom. I mean, I was at the bottom. I had no place to go.
But God was here. Absolutely. And he's been there all along.
Yeah, he was. He never left me.
As he has been for all of us. Well, thank you for listening to Kingdom Pursuits today. Thank you so much, Peter. We had a lot of fun. I knew we would.
Yeah, buddy.
And that's we didn't get a chance to get to Father's Day, so maybe we'll have to have you back. Because that's a big thing. Yeah. And Jason and Rob, you guys keep up the great work down there. If you want to find out more about, of course, it's wsrescue.org for the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission. Hope for the caregiver for Peter. And remember, stay tuned. We got so much truth coming at you. The Masculine Journey starts here now at 12 o'clock, followed by Disciple Magazine. So much truth coming at you on the Truth Network.